Welcome, welcome, welcome. What up, folks? If you're hearing me, this is E-Dub. And you are hearing me on a different platform, my own platform, actually. You have heard me from the Easy Does It podcast with me and my frat brothers, but I'm going to do something a little bit different here. We're going to talk about the up-and-coming movers and shakers of Charlotte, North Carolina that are around here doing some things this season. We're going to talk to a few of them. Who we have up first? Mr. Larry of Wingsa. What's going on, man?
What's going on, E?
Nothing much, man. So I kind of gave you the rundown of my show and how I'm going to do things. And I do appreciate you for reaching out to me, following up with me on this podcast, man. This is my first show alone.
All right.
So I don't have the usual suspects here, as I like to call them, for my show. But I want to do something a little bit different.
All right.
So talk to me, man. I know, you know, you kind of, you've been around for a minute. You know, you started out with the food truck, Wingsa, that was real popular in the city. And you're kind of moving on to different things. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a trip. We're going to take a journey. We're going to talk about some of the things that you have done in the process of starting your first endeavor to the additional endeavors that you have now.
Mm-hmm.
And what it takes to get there. We think a lot of people in Charlotte are making moves, and you could be kind of a beacon of what for people to expect.
Okay.
Of course, we all know it's not easy and things of that nature. So just kind of, you know, just kind of give me a little bit of background information on where you're from, how you got to Charlotte, you know, and some of the things that you were doing previously and now.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Lanham, Maryland, which is in Prince George's County. And I've been in Charlotte since actually 2006.
Okay.
And I moved to Charlotte because at the time I was working for a marketing consulting firm where I had a home office. It was a lot of travel involved. And I could essentially live anywhere in the United States as long as it was near a major airport. The cost of living up in Prince George's County, D.C. area was super expensive at the time for somebody that was fairly recent graduate of, you know, college. I wanted to buy a property and do things like that. I wanted to start a business. I didn't know what type of business I wanted to start, but I knew that it was going to require me saving some money. And so I started looking at other cities that, you know, I might not mind living in. And I was looking at Atlanta. I looked at Charlotte. I looked at Miami. And, you know, Charlotte just had the perfect mix of both, you know, affordability. It was a city that, you know, I felt like was in a space where it was growth that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't saturated with business ideas and young entrepreneurs and people. Like, it was, I almost viewed it as a blank canvas, man. And
right.
I felt like if I moved there and I could, you know, have an opportunity to kind of continue my career, save, then when I did get the business idea that I wanted to dive in with for my first opportunity, it would be a good place.
Okay. And you went to Morgan State, correct?
Yeah, I'm a graduate of Morgan State University. I'm a Bear for life. Yeah, you know, an HBCU education is something that, you know, I really value. Giving me the confidence to do a lot of the things that I've done, both professionally and as an entrepreneur.
Shout out to the HBCU.
Yes, sir.
Bay State as well.
Not right now.
What was your major?
Marketing.
Marketing?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have, when you was in school, did you ever think that entrepreneurship would be something that you wanted to do? Or did it just kind of, was it always embedded in you? Or is it something that just came later on?
Absolutely, man. Like, I always wanted to own my own business. I always had ideas in many different industries. I'm a creative person. I view myself as a creator. I've just done a good job of, you know, having that duality where, you know, and maybe it was because I'm a Libra, you know, I always seek that balance, but it's probably, yeah, I've always, you know, stayed on an education, professional development path while also trying to serve that creative bone through entrepreneurship. But I knew I wanted to do something, man. I just did not know what it was going to be, honestly.
Okay. And just doing a little bit of research, just past conversation that you and I have, I think you had worked at a restaurant while you was in school, correct?
No, man. I worked, my first job was at McDonald's.
McDonald's.
Yeah, and that's when I was 16. But that was only for like 3 months. That was the only food service experience I had when I started Wingza.
Okay. And Wingza, for people who don't know, mm-hmm. is wings and pizza, and you just combine that name together.
Yep, wings and pizza. I created that word. I trademarked that that phrase.
You got to.
Yeah, there's been a few companies that have reached out to us because they like it and have attempted to use it and, you know, things of that nature. But yeah, just Wingza, wings and pizza. And when we opened the food truck, we specialized in pizza, wings. We had wraps, shrimp. But a lot of focus was on the flavor.
The flavor.
Yeah, all the different sauces we had. Okay.
Now, with the was there anybody while you was at Morgan State or mm-hmm. in that area, was there anybody that did something kind of similar that made you say to yourself, you know what,
yeah,
I like it, I like it, you know, let me put my own twist to it. Which a lot of people do is all about what you do to it. So was it something that just stood out to you that said, I'm assuming that's your favorite food?
Yeah, pizza and wings, my favorite two foods in the world. Anybody who's ever been in Baltimore, Morgan State, York Road, there was a place called Stoko's that, you know, they did these 9-inch personal pizzas. It was a 10-inch personal pizza for like $4.25. And then they had, you know, a chicken box, which is really popular in Baltimore at every spot. But Stoko's to me had the best chicken box and pizza. And I saw thousands of Morgan State students over the years that I was there every night, whether they were ordering it to their dorm, going to pick it up after the party, because Stoko's stayed open at like 4 a.m. So after the parties, Stoko's would be packed. And we always joke, you know, we putting these folks' kids through college with how much money we spent there, wow. You know. And the food actually became a part of some of our best memories at college, mm-hmm. you know, just thinking about all the different times that we've had while we were eating the food, while we were going to get the food, you know, just sitting in there waiting for the food. It became a part of the college experience. And I think you'll find that, you know, anybody that you talk to that had went to college, they can tell you what they used to eat.
Oh, yeah.
While exactly. they were on campus. And I just felt like food.
Fish Fridays.
Yeah. And food was just, you know, it's just a part of the experience. It's a part of the culture. And that's kind of what took me in that direction.
Okay. Now, let's kind of move a little bit forward. Okay. You did say that you had moved to Charlotte mm-hmm. for the opportunities dealing with your job at the time, correct?
Yeah.
So when did the idea come up that you said to yourself, you know what, I think it's time for me to move into, I think, speaking for myself and anybody, everybody get to that point where they know they want to do it, and it's like you. I always tell my friends. I mean, she's kind of anonymous in here, but mm-hmm. if you start getting goosebumps and you start obsessing with idea,
mm-hmm.
I think you're starting to hit that groove that it's something right. that you want to do and something that you need to do.
Right.
So, I guess when did you start getting your goosebumps
okay.
to say that I want to do wings?
All right. So, I think me and you had a conversation about this some years ago, man. But mm-hmm. I read Russell Simmons' book, Do You.
I appreciate you giving me that book, because I did read it. Yep. I read it in about 3 days, so I do appreciate it.
It was good, right?
It was a good book.
So I read that book, and a lot of the language in that book was about, you know, what moves your spirit, what are you naturally gravitating towards, just in your everyday life for your own personal enjoyment. What really sort of wakes you up when it's a part of the conversation or a part of your daily life. And for me, it was food. You know, I always loved pizza. I always loved wings. It was one of those things where restaurant business in general was something that I loved observing and just kind of understanding the mechanics of it and how it works. So when I read that book, you know, that's when it sort of came to me like, man, maybe I should be in the food business. So I just took some small steps to start learning about what I enjoyed in food. So mm-hmm. pizza and wings, you know, I bought a couple books, you know, how to make pizza dough, how to make great pizza sauces. I actually went to Las Vegas and went to, they have a pizza convention out there that's really big. Just to be around the industry, I subscribed to a magazine called Pizza Today. Like, I was just really heavily into pizza. And then the wing thing, I was doing the exact same thing. Like, mm-hmm. so just trying to learn different sauces and take away. Because remember, for my job, I was traveling a lot.
Right.
So I was eating pizza and wings all over the country. And like when I would have something that was really good, you know, I would try to figure out what made that good and why I liked it, and then incorporate it back into my stuff I was doing at home. So I was trying to save some money. I was trying to learn how to do it myself just to, like, you know, make bomb pizza and wings. Mm-hmm. And it got to that point, you know, and anybody who's ever eaten wings at the food truck, I mean, those were my recipes that I developed in my house, you know, just.
It was different compared to other wings that I had. I know you did have a couple of favorites. I think anytime when I went to you,
the lemon pepper, right?
I used to get a Cam Newton.
The Cam Newton, yep.
I used to get the Cam Newton. I don't know what it was, what you did with it, but to me that was my favorite. But of course, there's some other fan favorites that we're going to get into in a minute. But so you decided to do a food truck.
Yeah. So
in Charlotte.
Yep. So let me kind of tie that story up. So in the process of me just diving into the material about pizza, wings, just learning as much as I could to really get them where I wanted them to be, that magazine that I was subscribed to, they used to have ads in the back. And I, you know, in one of them nights, just laying in bed, like, man, what am I going to do with my life? I think we all have those. Correct. You know, it was like 3 a.m. I got out the bed, went into the living room and just started flipping through that magazine. And I saw an ad for a company called Pizza Trucks of Canada. And it was like, you know, that's it. You know, I knew I didn't have the money to start a restaurant, but I was like, damn, you know, what if I did a pizza truck? Because this seems to be something that people are doing and people are building, but I'm going to have wings too.
Right.
I'm going to do pizza and wings on wheels. That was the, like, light switch moment that made me feel like this is what I'm going to do.
Okay. So, and I could be wrong. This is just my honest opinion. I don't think I started paying attention to food trucks until wings. So, was there a lot of food when you started? Was there a lot of food trucks in Charlotte prior to you?
Bro, they might not give me the credit that I deserve for starting the food truck industry in Charlotte, but nobody was doing it like Wingza. You might have seen a trailer somewhere in an obscure space serving barbecue or something, you know, just there, but nobody was traveling around the city operating in uptown from that was giving you the look and feel of street food like Wingza.
I feel you. I promise you, which is why I asked that question. I think I promise you, I don't remember anybody else that was like, I got a food truck. And I'm like, I only see one food truck. And it was such a phenomenon to me. Not saying that it was something I don't think couldn't have been done, but I'm like, yo, I've never seen it in Charlotte. And the fact that this food is actually good. Because when I'm thinking of like a street car or something like that, I'm thinking of tacos.
Right.
Or something like that is in corners with construction, you know, just things like that. I've never seen it the way you did it, where you posted up in certain, you know, certain places with that. So I'm going to give you the credit.
That's it, man. So
I'll give you the credit.
When I got out there, it was a thing with the city and with those locations. Like, I was in a space where I would rather ask for forgiveness than permission. And because I looked like I belonged and I brought somewhat of a cultural style and phenomenon to the street, where it actually made uptown more dope, you know, like it made it cooler, the city kind of embraced it, and because I was trying to get around like some of the regulations that they had that were not very good for food trucks at the time, I started going to a different place every day. So a lot of the trucks that came behind me, they followed that blueprint of what I was doing about a rotating schedule, social media, you know, trying to connect with fans in a certain way. But it really started, you know, there were 2 or 3 trucks that came right behind me that copied some of the things that I did. And then with those trucks and, you know, those folks really didn't look like me. Right. You know, it created an industry that then started the whole Food Truck Friday thing. And a lot of the stuff you see in Charlotte that created this food truck scene.
Did you have a part in creating the Food Truck Friday? Or
well, listen to this, man. I was so early in the process that the guy Gaines Brown, who owned that lot, came to me and wanted to do it, but we didn't have no other trucks that could go out there and sit with me. It was like, it was no other trucks that we could do it with, and I just didn't feel like it was the best thing to do, just one truck sitting out there. But once those other trucks started, and they were in need of locations, because, I mean, Wings was already popping by the time Food Truck Friday started, so the new trucks needed somewhere to go get some business, and they just worked it up. And I kind of took the approach that when it gets hot enough, then I'm going to show up.
Right.
But, you know, I was super early, man. You know, I took a lot of bumps and bruises just trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work. But I like to think that, you know, I added a cultural layer to Charlotte when it comes to street food and the scene by just doing what I did.
I agree with you. So, all right. Morgan State, marketing major. You had a thing for wings and pizza.
Yep.
That developed into an idea. Then you had the food truck.
Yep.
Then came Food Truck Friday.
Right.
Now, what some may not know, you was on a TV show.
Yeah.
Food Truck Wars.
Food Court Wars.
Food Court Wars.
On Food Network.
On the Food Network.
Yeah.
And I remember you telling me I'm going on this show.
Yeah.
And I think I was being that guy. So what happened? And you were like, man, you see.
Yeah.
So tell people what happened with the show.
Okay. So you know, Wings is Charlotte's most popular food truck. Food Network reached out to us for a show that they were gonna be filming in North Carolina in a city called Hickory. Called Food Court Wars. And what they wanted to do was to bring us on the show to compete against another food business. And whoever...
Now, was that food business located in Hickory as well? Or in the North Carolina area? Or that's just how they made it seem? I know how TV is. TV is a little bit tricky.
No, they were actually based in Charlotte as well. Okay. And they were some folks that had started a brand new food truck called the Mayo Bird. And they had us compete against each other in this competition that was like multi-day, you know, it was an hour-long episode, but we were competing for rent-free for a year in the Valley Hills Mall in Hickory. Mm-hmm. So you want me to tell you what happened or how it went? That was the concept of the show. We went up there and we competed and we won. So we ended up getting the store, the Wings of Store, in the Valley Hills Mall as a result of that.
Okay. And you, now, that is that still open or?
Nope, it's not open. That was probably one of the biggest challenges that I'd had as an entrepreneur. You know, the food truck itself, trying to get that off the ground was difficult, you know, and it requires a certain amount of dedication, stamina, you know, willing to take, you know, losses in order to get to those wins. So when we won the Food Court Wars thing, I felt like, you know, I finally, you know, arrived, should I say, like this was like the big break that I needed, because I knew my food was good. I knew the brand was good. We got on TV, we won, I'm out of here. You know, this was about to be Wings is out of here moment. So we opened the store, you know, we had maybe 3 weeks to get the store ready for open in that mall. And while Food Network did provide some, you know, financial support, they did not provide nearly enough to open a restaurant, you know, to our specifications in 3 weeks. So it required some investment. And a lot of that investment and time took away from what we were doing here in Charlotte with the food truck. Hickory is about an hour and 10 minutes away from Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Charlotte's a diverse city. Hickory wasn't nearly as diverse as Charlotte. Right. And we got up there and we opened and we were booming, man, for about 2 months. And once they stopped showing the episode of Food Court Wars, because a lot of people were traveling because it was a Food Network restaurant at that point. They stopped showing the episode, and we were just competing in the mall against Chick-fil-A, Subway, you know, the people that are in there normally. And we had all black staff. We were black owned and we were in a blue collar city that wasn't very diverse, and it was tough, man. It was really tough. So once we got to the end of that lease, we just decided not to renew it. But at that point, a lot of the damage had been done because a lot of the Wings of Food Truck profits were going to support the restaurant, you know, in that downtime.
Okay. All right. So that's not so. So now you decided to move into other avenues.
Yep.
Which is kind of what kind of brought us. I kind of look at it as like a full circle moment.
Yes, sir.
Compared to what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and what you have going on now. So you don't have the Wings of Truck anymore.
Nope. I sold the truck. I didn't sell the brand. I just sold the physical truck. And that was kind of a result of, you know, some of what we dealt with having the restaurant. When we got back to the truck, it just wasn't the same. I didn't have the same passion there personally. But then also, you know, just the way that the operation was working at that time, you know, I decided it just wasn't for me long term.
Mm-hmm.
So I closed it. I sold the truck and I sat back, you know, to decide what the next move was going to be.
And then you had another goosebump moment.
Yep. I had another goosebump moment. So throughout all the trials, tribulations, the wins and losses of the food truck, the restaurant, all these different things, Food Network, Cooking Channel. I mean, I was in Jet Magazine. That was big for me. We had all this stuff happening. The one thing that was constant through them years was that we were selling thousands of bottles of our Mambo sauce. Now, Mambo sauce is something that, you know, was popular in the DMV area where I'm from, something we all grew up on. And I feel like I have the best recipe out there. You know, you can take my Mambo sauce to DC, put it up against any Mambo sauce out there. I still think ours is the best. But that was our most popular wing on the Wings of Food Truck.
Right.
And it got so popular and people loved the sauce so much. You know how customers are. When you gonna start selling this by the bottle? So I started doing it in small batches, and that was organically growing at the same time as the food truck, man, where we were moving units, you know. So I had the website selling Mambo sauce. It was selling it out the window of the food truck. We had selling it from the counter in Hickory. That was the thing that people loved. And I felt like it was something once the food truck was done. And it's a big thing, man, when you're dealing with lots of employees and trying to get people to match your passion and your vision. This was something I could do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need employees to do this. And I had all kind of cool recipes because I knew what worked. You know, we had tested this stuff in the market, all not just Mambo sauce, but all of our other sauces that are coming behind this one. I know what works. Like you said, you love the Cam Newton.
Yeah.
I had thousands of other customers that loved other sauces that we had. And I decided that to serve both, you know, from a creative standpoint, I could develop packaging, labeling, the marketing. And then once it's done, it's just about production.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if stores pick it up or whatever, it's just me. You know, so it made me think that this was the way that, you know, God had taken me through those different processes to get to this point, to be a product company.
Do you have some leads, or do you have your product in stores now?
Not right now. What we're looking to do is build the following for the product on both social media and control our distribution solely through our website, wingsa.com. And the reasoning for that is that, you know, when you want to be in retail with a product, grocery stores specifically, so people who have sauces or different things that they want to get out there, here's a little gem for you. Grocery stores need to have a 100% markup to sell your product, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's say it costs me, just to have a nice round even figure, it costs me $2 to make each bottle of Wings of Mambo sauce. And I want to sell it for $5. You know, I'm making a good profit personally, but if I want Harris Teeter to sell it, you know, and I want to sell it to them for $2 a bottle, I won't make any money, and they'll be selling it for $4 because they got to mark it up 100%.
Right.
So in order for me to, like, let's say, oh, I need to make at least $1 a bottle at Harris Teeter, I'm going to need to sell it to them for $3, and they're going to sell it for $6. Mm-hmm. Well, you take this small bottle and you put it next to all the hot sauces that are $1.99, $2, this and that, it's going to struggle to sell at $6 a bottle. But through my own distribution, if I sell it for $6 a bottle, now it's $6.50 on my website right now.
Mm-hmm.
If I sell it for that, from there, I can afford to do much less business, but I still make my profit. You know, the business makes sense. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things with the food truck that, you know, I had to learn, was that no matter what, no matter how popular you are, no matter how much you sell, the business at the end of the day has to make sense.
I agree.
And if the business makes sense, I don't mind selling 10 bottles of Mambo sauce this month,
mm-hmm,
because it was profitable,
right,
you know, versus selling 1,000 bottles in Harris Teeter and, you know, maybe not so much, depending on what it cost us for the shelf space, the distribution, to get it there and do different things. I don't know if I took you too far left.
Oh, nah, man. Those are all good things that I think people need to hear. I think that's one of the reasons why I decided to, you know, try to do this show so people can hear those stories. Now, I think one side of it, well, let me ask you, and this is pretty much, standard, but you never mentioned it. did you have a mentor to assist you with this whole thing?
Nope. I did not have a mentor. That was one of the things that, you know, when I started, like I said, I only had 3 months of food service experience, but I knew branding, marketing, like the back of my hand, because that's what I was working in. Mm-hmm. So I focused solely on branding the Wings of Truck, marketing the Wings of Truck, getting PR for the Wings of Truck. But on the back end, I had to learn everything about the food business. Mm-hmm. I did pick up a mentor later in the process who, actually in Charlotte here, he owns a number of McDonald's, and he would help me out and talk to me about, you know, certain things that helped me, you know, understand, you know, what I had with my model. One gem I'll give people that are interested in the food business. I teach food truck 101 class at Central Piedmont Community College. Well, okay. I taught it for the last few years. I'm moving out of it now.
Okay.
But everybody who opens a food business wants to focus on what they like. Okay. It's like what type of food they like, what type of recipes they have that are really good. You know, I see a lot of us focus on barbecue. I see a lot of us focus on soul food. I see a lot of us focus on things that we're familiar with and we love and we know people love, but those aren't necessarily the best, the most profitable items you can focus on in the food business. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the mistakes that I made. Had I had that mentor beforehand, I wouldn't have done pizza. You know, chicken wings are super expensive. Right. That's why most places that serve chicken wings, they have a bar to kind of offset that cost. You know, the cost of dairy and cheese and the meats and the things you have to do with pizza. That's why the pizza business is changing into sort of that fast casual thing where it's custom, like Blaze Pizza or the other ones that you can build that one pie and charge $8 or $9 versus the slice business. Just because you like it, because you love it, because you have a passion for the food itself, doesn't mean it's the best food business to be in. And I feel like a lot of us, when we talk about entrepreneurship, we talk about passion.
Right.
And like, you know, what's your passion? What do you want to do? My passion was pizza and wings. And I did it to death. You know right. what I'm saying? I did it. And now that I look back on it, it's like, damn, you know, I probably could have done a different product for the food business that would have been a better business model. But, you know, ain't no such thing as a mistake or regret as an entrepreneur. I mean, you end up where you are because of those experiences, and I think I'm in the right place now.
Okay. And I know a few years, we kind of talked about this offline.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, you had your first son.
Yep.
And how has now, being in 2018, how has raising your child your son,
mm-hmm.
and you trying to do your business, how does that all come? How does that all come full circle and all come together to make you think, okay, I know what I need. Number one, I know what I need to do, and I know I need to do some things differently because it's not just you. It's not just you. It's not your wife. You know, you have somebody else coming behind you that's following your every move. You want to be just like dad. So, you know, what are some things that you have learned from that? You know, just, you know, in short.
For sure. So when I started the Wings of Food truck, I took a leap of faith, as we talk about as entrepreneurs. I put in my 2 weeks at work. You know, I had my money stacked up to start my company, and I just left. I left work, and Wings of was going to be my sole source of income. And that was, you know, to motivate me. Hey, it ain't no safety net here. This has got to work. And I got to figure out how to make money, how to eat, how to pay my bills. It's a different ball game once you have a child and that child's dependent on you as well. Because as adults, we can rough it. You know what I'm saying? We can, you know, we can go without until we realize our dream or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my son was a newborn when I opened the restaurant in Hickory. And with those struggles that came along with that, you know, I realized, damn, you know, yeah, I'm chasing my dream. Yeah, I have a food truck. I have a restaurant. I have this thing that visually is working. But on the back end, the business ain't going right. And I'm not being the best dad because I'm not really providing what I need to provide for my family in the way that I need to. So that contributed to, you know, me taking a step back. I actually went back to work full time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I needed to get that biweekly direct deposit back.
I feel you.
Because, bro, when you out here as an entrepreneur and you are only eating what you earn, it's difficult. Like I always tell my friends that, you know, have always worked jobs and have never started a business, man, at that time I was like, man, I look back to the time that I was getting a biweekly direct deposit before I started a business. I was like, that was the easiest money I ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was stealing money once I got out here and realized what it is to really earn your income. So my goal, you know, in shutting down the food truck and the restaurant and that kind of thing was to find balance. And what that meant for me was full time getting back into the marketing industry,
mm-hmm.
To secure my income. But then this second business was something that I can do at the same time, based on the model. So it was about finding balance and really, you know, being the best that I could be for my son, for my family. But it just changes your approach, man. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. You know,
man.
A lot of people will glamorize that grind where you weren't making money for however long until you got over the hump. But things change. When it's just you, you can do it forever. But when it changes and you have these family responsibilities, man, you got to take some inventory on yourself and your approach. And that's what I had to do. So that's why, you know, in Charlotte, a lot of people don't see Larry anymore like they used to.
Right.
You know, I used to be out here and everybody knew that every time you saw that truck, you were going to see me. I was at events. I was doing everything I could do to support the community and build it.
You were like Krispy Kreme, man. Like, you know how like you go to Krispy Kreme and you say, yo, that sign is on. That was kind of like, yo, like I would call you. I would hit you up on Instagram like, yo, where you at? It's been a while.
Right.
You know, I said, man, I got to get my fix, man. I got to get my Cam Newton fit. Hey, some of that weight our gain came from. It came from the wings, man.
We were the cheat day food truck. You know, there's a lot of people trying to do organic and farm to fork and all this kind of stuff, man. We were like, nah.
They had to get the wings, man.
If you eating right them 6 days a week, on that seventh day, you need to come see Wings. So that's why. You know, the memories you have with those flavors, E, and those sorts of things. That's why with the sauce and seasonings company, and our first product is the Mambo sauce at wingsa.com. But with the sauce and seasoning, Mambo sauce is first, and we're going to follow it up with a lot of our other real popular things that, you know, can help you bring that flavor home and keep that flavor, even though the truck ain't out there anymore.
Hey man, that truck was memories. We talk about it still to this mm-hmm. day. You know, sometimes, especially when it's warm.
Yep.
We be like, yo, where
Wings at? I know, man.
Like, Like, I've been in with that spot, but, you know, I feel you made a mark in the city. I feel you was what the food trucks wanted to be. I think you did your part. And as always, you know, I want to see you. I give you much success in everything that you do. So, the question I want to ask you, so what's next?
Okay. So, you know, my goal is to create a sauce and seasoning brand that's for the culture. You know, Kraft and Texas Pete and Sweet Baby Ray's and whoever, you know, there's all kind of products, but nothing is really being marketed to us, you know, in a way that resonates with the culture, you know. Mm-hmm. So you got the Mambo sauce bottle right there with you. Mm-hmm. You see what the labeling is, what that speaks to culturally. You know, it looks just like the Martin logo.
Exactly, just like the Martin.
Right? And it don't say Martin on the bottle, but if you see that,
you know what it
you
is.
Know exactly what that is, and you know automatically that that's for you. You know, that's for you. So that's the goal, to combine these great flavors that came from my scratch recipes that were made super popular on the wings of truck, seen across the world on Food Network, bring these flavors to your house and give you some dope packaging that when you line them up, it's like, man, where you get this from?
Right.
You know, because if you have the Mambo sauce, people automatically say that. But yeah, I'm telling you, by the time I give you four or five of these bottles and you kind of see where I'm going with it, you'll realize that it's not only about the sauce and a, you know, disposable use like a bottle of hot sauce or something where you're going to buy it, you're going to use it, you're going to toss it. You know, it's like a collector's item. Yeah. You know, it's a statement.
Well, as always, man, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you just coming in and sitting down with me, man, and just letting us, you know, just talking to me about things and just letting people know. So just let them know where they can get in contact with you. Matter of fact, also let them know where they can get this Mambo sauce at.
For sure. So the first place you want to go is wingzza.com. That's WINGZZA.com. The featured flavor right now is our Mambo sauce. That's what we're pushing 100%. Here this year, we're going to actually be introducing, probably in the first quarter of this year, we're going to be introducing two or three more flavors that you can get there. But right now, you can get the retail size bottle of Mambo sauce, the gallon size. You can get you a Wings of Squeeze bottle to use the gallon to refill it as many times as you want to. Mm-hmm. Wingzza.com, and you want to follow some of the things that we're doing and kind of understand the brand. Instagram is my favorite medium on social media, so you can find us at Wingzza, WINGZZA. On Twitter, it's at Wingzza Truck. Somebody already has Wingzza on there, but it's like somebody in Asia. and it has nothing to do with food or anything like that. So we're Wingzza Truck on Twitter and the same on Facebook. But Instagram is the place. And, you know, what we want to do is make our Wingzza products like what Diddy has done with Ciroc, what Jay-Z has done with Ace, the same type of people that's going to support that culturally when they you know, drink spirits or they party. We want those same people to have our products in the refrigerator. You know, the average refrigerator has a bottle of barbecue sauce, ketchup, ranch, whatever. The cool refrigerator, the person that's like tapped in culturally and kind of understands the vibe, is going to have Mambo in the refrigerator. Sauce. They're going to have our other products. You know, they're going to have our lemon pepper seasoning. You know, something that you want to sit there and include in your IG pic while you're eating your food. You want to make sure the bottle gets seen versus
right
just the chicken, you know.
Product placement. But we appreciate it. Hey, man. Y'all get y'all Mambo sauce.
For sure. Wingzza.com.
Wingzza.com.
Thanks, E, and I wish you much success, man, and much prosperity with your podcast, man.
I
think you have
it,
a vision, and I think you're going to get there.
I'm trying. I'm trying. But we appreciate you tuning in for Who Got Next or Who Up Next. I still ain't figured that out yet, but once I figure it out, you will know. By the time you hear the show, you're going to know exactly what it means. But I'm still working on that a little bit, but it's all good. We out.